Well, I thank the Lord for Brother David and Sister Trish. And David's been a great encouragement to my heart through the years. And to watch his growth in grace and growth in the ministry as well. I asked David to come and preach to us. He'll be with us just this Sunday and two more. So he's going to be preaching to us like the old days on Sunday afternoon. As he took us for a good while through... I've lost that now, David.
Gospel of Mark.
That's right. That's right. All the way through the Gospel of Mark. So we have the opportunity to pray for them, as we've been instructed in the morning by the text to pray and to give thanks. We should be able to give thanks for David and Trish very much from our hearts, and also we have the privilege and responsibility to hold them up in prayer as they head out from us. And that's a high honor that the Lord has given to us, to have somebody from our midst sent out to the gospel ministry, no matter where it is, whether it's next door or whether it's across the world. It's all the same gospel, with the same power of God unto salvation. So I'm looking forward to it. We are going to have our book study following the message afterwards. Brother David, if you will come. Gladly hear you, brother.
If you will, take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 139. I'll read the psalm, and then during the message time, we will focus particularly on verses 23 and 24. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. In verse 17, Psalm 139, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! The men of blood depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a complete or perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous or wicked way in me. Lead me and lead me in the way everlasting." Let us pray. Father, we come to you this afternoon thanking you again for your love and your mercy and your grace. But let us never forget your justice, your righteous indignation. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for just the rain as it has even fallen today. It is accomplishing the purpose for which you sent it. And Lord, so shall your word accomplish all of its purposes that you sent it out. It will not return to you void. And so, Lord, today will you powerfully work according to your word. And it is through Jesus that your work of salvation has been fulfilled, and it has been shown to us. And so it is through Jesus that we might receive everlasting blessing. And it is through Jesus that I pray this prayer. Amen. As we look at these two verses, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, I will have to say that these are sobering and so serious verses. And so we look now to verse 23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." The first phrase that I would like for us to focus on is, "O God." The psalmist is calling upon God. And we know that calling upon God is a good thing. As we look to the scriptures, we see, and particularly throughout the Psalms, we hear the call to God for what? For help, for mercy, for deliverance, for salvation. Calling upon God should be the lifestyle of the child of God. Several of the points out of this passage will be made clear. I want to ask you, before we go much further, as we look at this scripture, ask yourself. For there is a principle in the scriptures that says, examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. And then here's a principle from these scriptures that say, God, O God, examine me. Ultimately, that's what the psalmist is calling for here. So as you hear the psalmist's desire for God to examine him, I want to encourage you to examine yourself even at the same time. What is David calling upon God for in this psalm, and particularly in these two verses? Well, throughout the psalm, quick overview, Psalm 139, David confesses that the Lord knows all about him. The Lord knows all about him. The Lord is everywhere present. The Lord was acquainted with David even when he was unformed substance in his mother's womb. God was knitting him together. David confesses that all his days were in the Lord's book before he was born. And these things, the thoughts of the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord, are precious to David. Somewhat an overview, but then we get to verses 19 through 22, and we find some strong language. David wants the Lord to wipe out the wicked. David doesn't like for anyone to speak against the Lord or to speak about the Lord in a vain way. The verse that is right before the text that we're going to look to, so look to verse 22, Psalm 139, verse 22. "I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies." If anyone is going to talk like that, then they better be walking with the Lord. If anyone is going to have this righteous indignation, meaning this right hatred or anger, then they better be angry about what the Lord is angry about. And you know, we should want to be angry about what the Lord is angry about. Putting in context, verses 23 and 24 of this psalm. We should want to be angry about the things that the Lord is angry about. So how can we have this perfect hatred, as King James puts it in the translation? In general, how can we know that our life is pleasing to the Lord? And so overall, you'll hear me, I'm sure you've heard many others say these things. First, a life pleasing to the Lord, we go to the Word of God and we see what is pleasing to Him. We go to the Word of God to see what the Christian life looks like. And then secondly, once we know from the Word what God wants, we apply the Word of God to every aspect of our life. We must begin to live out the truths that we find in the Bible. So the psalmist calls on God. He's calling on God for what reason? Verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." O God, search me. What a statement. Strong's Concordance says that this primitive root of this word search is to penetrate, to examine intimately, to find out, to search out, to seek out, to try. You got that, didn't you? The psalmist is saying ultimately, "Oh God, please get out your flashlight. Maybe even a rope or the surgeon's scalpel if need be." See how the psalmist, by God's grace, is opening himself up to the Lord. "Oh God, please take out your flashlight and shine around." Now there is application to our own lives. As the psalmist says these things to the Lord, let us learn from a saint that has gone before us. "Lord, I want you to see every corner, every crevice, every closet in my life." He's asking for the search to take place. "Lord, I would even ask that you use the rope. If a spelunker is going to search out the whole cave, then probably at some point he will have to use the rope to go down into a deeper part of the cave. Oh God, search me." Lord, the surgeon's scalpel. Oh, how we hate surgery. Sometimes it's even called exploratory surgery. The doctor has to go in and find out the potential problem. Lord, search me out completely. This is what the psalmist is calling for. Oh God, know my heart. Search me and know my heart. What might the Lord have to cut in his search? The psalmist says that God's search is for the purpose of knowing his heart. Lord, open up my heart. Penetrate my heart so that you can see what is in my heart. Not to see if I need a stent, not to see if I have a blockage, but search out my inner man. Search out my will. Search out what's inside of me. And I know this sounds crazy, because many of us would say that we're private people. We don't want anyone to know all the details, what is deep within. Well, it might sound crazy to some, but to the one who knows the Lord, this would sound perfect and right. You know, we should delight to invite the Lord to search us out, you see. Sobering text of Scripture, to say the least. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, O God, try me, and know my thoughts. Now the psalmist asks God for this trying. Again, from Strong's, the primitive root, to test. And it's especially used for the purpose of testing metals. So figuratively, we say to investigate, again, examine, prove, let there be a trial that takes place. So, oh God, try me. One way to think about this is to say the psalmist requests in this way, I am a piece of metal. Test my purity. Lord, turn up the heat so that the impurities will rise to the top. My life is to be purely for your glory, Lord. My life is supposed to be for you alone. So, Lord, try me, test me, examine me, prove me to see if I am what I'm supposed to be for you. Remember, the psalmist is calling on the Lord. So the psalmist wants to be living for the Lord. The psalmist wants the Lord to search and to try him. What a sobering statement. What about us? Well, the search was for the heart, but what is the trying for? It is for the thoughts. Oh God, know my thoughts. The trying or testing is not the blood test, not a test of the chemicals in the body. No, it is a test for thoughts. It is a test for thoughts. I'm going quickly through this passage of Scripture. I'm going very quickly through this passage, these two verses of Scripture, but let me tell you that this is something daily that we could call upon the Lord for, this examination. Show even my hidden faults, one place it said. Know my thoughts. Lord, take a look at what is on my mind. I guess I can look around and I can see how many people are paying attention to the sermon. I know you don't really always know. The preacher likes to look anyways to see what's going on out there. To see if somebody's thinking about maybe what's for supper. They might be gazing out the window, thinking about what will be the next playtime. But the psalmist calls on the Lord to try his thoughts. Not just the good and godly things that are on his mind, but the things that come to our mind that we wish were not there. How many of us are proud of the worried-filled thoughts that we have? We'll just use that one application. The worried, filled thoughts that we have. The thoughts that cause us to be anxious. That is the type of thought spoken of here. If the meaning is the same as the other time this word occurs in the Old Testament. It's not a common word in the Bible. This word in Psalm 94, verse 19. Take your Bible and let's turn there. Psalm 94. Verse 19. Oh God, know my thoughts by way of trying. Psalm 94, verse 19. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Or as King James puts it, in the multitude of my thoughts, within me, thy comforts delight my soul. You see, the request for the trying of the thoughts is here translated, cares of my heart, one place. King James, multitude of my thoughts within me, another place. I believe that this application, or at least from that usage, we can see that these are anxious or worried-filled thoughts. So the psalmist is ultimately saying, oh God, I want you to examine. I want you to make this investigation about all I think. Oh God, I want you to test the things that I think about, especially the worried-filled thoughts that I have. Why does the psalmist want the Lord's search and trying upon his heart and thoughts? We've already said that the searching of the heart is what is requested. The trying of the thoughts is what is requested, maybe as it relates to our anxious thoughts. Why does the psalmist want this? Well, the heart and the thoughts are within, right? We all get this picture. But guess what? The heart, what is in the heart and what is in the mind comes out. And so if you'll look in verse 24, back to Psalm 139. The heart and the thoughts within. Why would the psalmist want the Lord to do his examination, his search there? It is because what is within us and what we are within does not stay within. What is within ultimately affects our ways. Psalm 139, verse 24. And see, if there be any grievous or wicked way in me. See if there be any grievous or wicked way in me. Lord, I don't want you to just take a tour of my heart and thoughts, but especially I want you to see the things in my life that are wicked. I want you to see the things in my life that are grievous. I want you to see, at its basic meaning, the sorrowful and painful ways in me. Ultimately, the psalmist is speaking of sinful ways. Lord, show me my sinful ways. When is the last time that you ask the Lord to show you your sin? Is this a fun or comfortable process or prayer? Is the sanctifying process comfortable? And would praying, like the psalmist is praying, calling upon the Lord, oh God, he says, would this for the psalmist be a sanctifying process? Another question to consider is this, calling upon the Lord for the search, calling upon the Lord for the testing, the trying, calling upon the Lord to show the sinful ways, is this a God-honoring process? And finally, is this a healthy process for your soul? Is this healthy for your soul? Why would it be good? Why would it be so good for the Lord to show you your sinful ways? Well, the simple answer is so that you can turn from those ways. You can repent and go another way. And so which way should we go? At the conclusion, verse 24, we see, and lead me in the way everlasting. O God, lead me in the way everlasting. The psalmist wanted to go in the way everlasting. The everlasting way is the way that the Lord leads on. Jesus spoke about the everlasting way, the way that will last forever. And Jesus said that the gate is narrow or small, and the way is narrow or hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Matthew 7:14. So everyone is not going and will not go the everlasting way. So it is understandable. It is understandable why the psalmist would call out to the Lord for his leadership and his guidance, the Lord's leadership. The Lord's guidance. Lord, I need to know where to go. I can't make it on my own. Lord, I need your way. Thankfully, the Lord has given us his word to tell us his way. Thankfully, the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit to even shine upon the Word, to illuminate the Word, to cause the Word to come alive in the way of the Lord, the Word of the Lord. And ultimately, we will see Jesus in the is himself the everlasting way. So the psalmist has called upon God. He has asked for the search. He has asked for his heart to be examined. He's asked for God to try him. He's asked for the thoughts to be examined. And all of us would benefit from this same call to the Lord. You don't know the details of all that's in my heart, and you don't know the details of all that's in my mind, and I don't know the details of all that's in your heart or in your mind this afternoon. But the Lord does. Now let's take these two verses and think back to a few things we saw earlier on in the psalm. Look back, Psalm 139. The psalmist is calling for something that has already happened before in his relationship with the Lord. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. I do not know your heart or your thoughts this afternoon. But in verse 7, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. You see, I do not know your heart or your thoughts this afternoon, but the Lord does. The Lord does. If the psalmist begins in verse 1 by saying the search has already taken place, the knowing has already been established, all the details even of the ways of his life are known of the Lord, why is he calling upon it again? Because he knows that before the Lord, he wants to be right. Before the Lord, he wants to walk in a way that is pleasing to him. May we have such a desire. But ultimately, the psalmist does not focus on the temporal blessing of this life. Ultimately, the psalmist concludes by saying that he wants the way everlasting of the Lord. And that would have to be that we receive God's blessing unto salvation, as it is put in the scriptures, eternal life. Maybe this afternoon you will call for the search. I can tell you the Lord already knows the details, but it still will be good for you to call for the search. This afternoon you might call for the trying of your thoughts, and that would be a good thing for you to do, and the Lord already knows your thoughts. Maybe this is intimidating to you. Maybe you are fearful for your parents or fearful for someone else to know all that's in your heart or your thought. When we realize the Lord already knows it, our response should not be to run away from the Lord. For there is nowhere that we can get away from the Lord, the psalmist says so clearly. Ultimately, we run to him that he might show us our sin. And then ultimately, we want to know about the everlasting way. And he has provided the solution for our sin, sickness, the grievous, wicked ways in us, these things that cause pain and sorrow and ultimate death and destruction forevermore. For the Bible describes hell as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, where worms shall not die and fire is not quenched. But Jesus Christ is the way. He is the way everlasting. Once we have known the Lord, we have come to him, confessed our sin. We are living a life of repentance of our sin, believing upon Jesus as the one who is the only Savior for us from our sins, based on Him living a perfect life in our place, based on Him dying the death that He did not deserve, but yet He was dying in our place, taking our punishment. He is the way everlasting. Based on the fact that He did not just die for us, but He actually rose for us, that we might rise with Him as well, He, Jesus, is the everlasting way. And once we have come to Him, once this serious and sobering scripture is a reality in our life, then we can have this comfort. If you will look to Psalm 139, verse 17. Psalm 139, verse 17. Let us conclude. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Let us pray. Father, we come through the everlasting way. We come through Jesus. We thank you for your word that has shown this afternoon. May it shine brightly in our minds and our hearts. So may we see our sin and may we look to Jesus as our Savior alone. And then, Lord, thank you for how precious your thoughts, how precious your word, how precious your ways are to us now who have received everlasting life through Jesus, the everlasting way. Lord, my prayer is that we might all look to you. Lord, may you give us grace. May you give us grace to call upon you seriously, soberly, so that we might receive salvation from our sin, that we might be put in a state to live to glorify your grace. And oh, we thank you for Jesus. He is the everlasting way. Would you bless this word to your people? And it's through Jesus that I ask it. Amen. Amen.